Life is sweet. Let it sweep you off your feet.
Hi, you're listening to Find Your Joy. If you're looking for ways to thrive rather than survive in a world that can seem rather chaotic, you're in the right place. We will be sharing stories of our own as well as those from guests who have found ways to bring hope, healing, and freedom into places where trauma has impacted them. I'm Allie, author of The Art of Healing Trauma, and I'm here to remind you that life is sweet. Now, let's dive in and find ways to create our joy. Hi, it's Allie, and this is Find Your Joy. This week, you'll be listening to one of the episodes from Mahalo Monday. People told me how much they liked them, so that's what we'll be listening to. So here we go. Please do remember to like and subscribe. Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to Mahalo Monday. I hope that you are all doing well. I hope that your weekend was whatever you needed it to be, whether you were working or playing or resting or whatever you were doing. I hope that it went well. For me, I think I'm doing a thing, a back to basics. That's what I'm doing right now. Back to basics. What do we know that works? That it's easy to sometimes get a little bit waylaid, or do you ever do, you know, it's like the starting the diet on Monday and by Tuesday you forgot what you were doing and now you're like, oh my gosh, all right, I just needed to, you know, follow this very simple, easy, not fancy, not new finangled, just what works. And what works, I have found in my life, is to slow down, to do what I know to do. What is that? I don't know. Go to the pool, maybe. Go for a nice walk. More fiber, less carbs. Keep the sugar down. Don't forget to do some nice deep breathing. So I guess that's what I'm thinking about a little bit, is that I've been, you know, you see posts and there's all these, I don't know, ideas going on. And so I just have to remind myself, keep it simple, keep it simple, keep it simple. And, so today, this morning, I was thinking of that because I started my day, without doing my three things that I'm grateful for in the morning. I started my day, I woke up and I thought, oh my gosh, my second draft for my book cover is in. And I got really excited and I was like looking on my phone, trying to get it bigger so that I could see it. And I started thinking, oh, it looks this, and do I want this thing to change? And oh, the publishers asked me about something else and I was getting excited, and it's exciting. What's not to be excited about, of course. But here's the deal. I didn't do my first three things that I'm grateful for in the morning. And so it's okay. I mean, it's early enough. I'm only a few hours into the day. I can fix this. So this morning, I am grateful for the designer really understanding, it appears, what it was that I wanted. Yay! I am grateful for a husband who encourages and supports and, you know, really walks the walk, doesn't just talk the talk in terms of cheerleading and fanning the flames. Because when, you know, when you're living life with a person who's trying to create all these things, I'm guessing it can be a bit much. Forget about just the expense of it all. Just the nobody's allowed to talk during this time. anyway, so I'm grateful. I'm grateful for my kids and my grandkids who are amazing and I adore them. And they make me proud every day for just being who they are. And for the things that they choose to do and accomplish. More importantly, though, for who they are as human beings. They're amazing people. And I'm really grateful for that. So there I did my three things that I'm grateful for with you this morning. And remembering to do breathing deeply, deeply, deeply into my belly button and breathing in all that is good and true and pure and lovely, and releasing all that I was never intended to carry, was never for me to carry. So that's kind of my remembering that when I breathe in, and when we breathe in, breathing in what is pure, what is good, what is positive, what is calming, what is peaceful. Remembering that when doing our breath exercises or start breathing, that when we breathe in these words or thoughts, that they are intentions, that it's not as, I can remember, you know, many years ago when I first started to do breathing, breath work and things like that, I don't think I connected deeply to what it was that I was breathing in calm, positive energy. I was saying the words or thinking the words, depending on how it was going. But the longer I do it, the more I understand it's the intent. It's important. It's not just a word. It is intention. I am with intention breathing in peace. I am with intention breathing in positivity. I am with intention breathing in love and kindness and goodness. It is intentional. And I think it matters for me to recognize the shift in that. The shift that it is more than words. It is an intention. So I'm breathing in intentionally. I am welcoming in peace. So I am welcoming in love and goodness and kindness. And when I release, I am with intention letting go of those things that don't serve me, those things that do not serve my intention of having a life that is filled with love and hope and peace and joy and health and kindness and community and all the things that matter to me. The things that I have decided that I want to build on and create in my world, in my life. So I'm letting go of those things that don't serve, as one would say, the highest good for myself. Things that don't serve my vision for what I want my world to be. I'm letting go of those things because sometimes I pick those up along the way. Maybe you do too. Maybe you're like me. Maybe not. Maybe you're just so freaking awesome you don't ever do that. I'm just guessing that if we're both humans, that it is possible that along the way we can pick up expectations. We can pick up insecurities. We can pick up judgments. We can pick up self-criticism. We can pick up fear. We can pick up anxiety. We can pick up depression. There's these things we kind of pick up along the way sometimes, and they're not ours to carry. So it's time to put them down, baby. It's part of my reevaluating January is really recognizing how I pick things up along the way. Sort of like I'm a little Velcro girl and I bump into something and it goes, and it clicks onto me, and then I have to go, wah, wait a second, I didn't even notice I was getting anxious about that. I did that the other day. I was busy. That's typically where it starts. I mean, I have kind of been a person who other people tell me I'm busy a lot, or I'm always doing things. How are you always doing those things? So for me, I can just say that staying engaged in what interests me. I think it works better for me if I say that than busy, because busy to me seems like a negative word. It seems like busyness in my head, a busyness in my thoughts, busyness in my mind. So if I get actually busy, that doesn't work so well for me. That's when I run the risk of becoming tired and anxious and just not thinking clearly, not functioning well. However, if I choose to fill my time with things that I find interesting and that I'm passionate about and I'm creating things, for me, I don't feel busy then. I feel fulfilled. I feel engaged. I'm curious. And so every time I do something new, that really engages me. I like to do things that I'm really comfortable with and know well. That's a lovely place to ride in for a while. And every once in a while, I need to do something that's new to me. So, my Lord, self-publishing my first children's book is, let me tell you, that's a lot to learn about. And so some of it is busy making in my head because it's so much new stuff, but also, I find it interesting and fascinating, and I'm a very curious person. So I like to do these new things because that satisfies the curiosity in me. And if I am not, literally, I'm going to tell you the truth. If I am not doing something that is new and interesting and satisfies the curiosity in me, then trust me, it's for your sake I do these things, because otherwise my mind is going to wander. Not just wander, but I wonder. I wonder about things a lot. I wonder about this. I wonder about that. I'm a person who just wonders a lot. So if I'm not doing something new and that engages my mind that way, then all of you poor people are going to be left with me asking you questions all the time, because it's just how my brain works. I wonder about this. I wonder about that. So when I start to do something new, like find a new way to paint, find a new book to write, find a new song, find a new instrument, find a new path to walk down, find a new place to take my dog. When I'm doing things like that, I feel engaged. I feel happy. I feel fulfilled. I feel calm. That's what nourishes how I was created to be. And hey, while we're on that, because I'm wired that way, let me just tell you, if you are a person who is wired to I don't know if needs the right word, but it just really excites me and makes me feel alive to learn new things and to do new things. And so I'm very happy to be a person who is writing books and taking courses and doing a sound bath and creating a new course to teach and writing a new song. I can be a person who's doing all of those things, and maybe from the outside it looks like I'm doing it all at once. Of course I'm not, because no one can do all of those things at once. Come on now. But over the course of a week, I might write a new song, and I might work on a new book, and I might paint a painting, and I might do a couple of sessions with clients. That's how I'm wired. That's what gives me joy. That's what gives me life. And so that's going to be the other part, because as a person who that's how I function and that's how I keep myself happy and alive and fulfilled, there have been people questioning me about that in my life. I don't mean today so much, because you know what? I'm 65, so screw you. This is just how I roll, baby. So it doesn't really affect me so much anymore if people say, why are you doing that? Because until I felt secure in just how my brain works and how I am, I would have probably questioned myself. For sure I did. And now I'm like, okay, this is how it works. And so I make sure I have downtime when I need it. And sometimes I overdo it. Yeah, whatever. I would rather overdo my life than underdo my life. That's me. That's how it works. So today, what did I do? I got up, started to get busy before I did my three things that I'm grateful for. Thank you for my husband. Thank you for my new designer who worked on my new cover that I completely designed myself and said, yeah, that's really awesome what you did. How about this? Because again, that's how my brain works and that's how things go for me. Yeah, thankful for my family. So now I can get on with my day because I have done my three things that I'm grateful for. I've got lots to do today because it's down to the crunch time with my book. But if I don't stop and center myself first, well, then we just have Allie off on her own. And trust me, none of us want that. So yeah, so I stopped. I say the three things that I'm grateful for. I do some deep breathing. When I'm doing my breath work, I am breathing in all that is good and true and lovely. I'm breathing in calm, positive energy. And it's not just words like I'm trying to be like some guru up on a mountain. It is I am welcoming into my life calm and peace and love from the very source of love itself. That's what I'm inviting into my life. And when I'm letting go, when I'm taking my out breath, I am literally reminding myself, hey, you picked up some things that weren't yours to carry this week. Put them down. And I don't just mean a couple of extra pounds. Wah, wah. I'm talking about I picked up some concerns. I picked up some anxieties. I picked up some negative thoughts. Those are not mine. They do not bring me life. I'm putting them down now. So that's basically Mahalo Monday in a nutshell. Mahalo Monday is remembering to be grateful. We remember to be grateful not just because we should be grateful. We remember to be grateful because it actually shifts the chemistry in our body. Wow, mind blowing. Imagine that we were created. We were created in such a way that when we are grateful, when we think on things to be grateful for, when we show gratitude, that it can actually heal our bodies. How does this work? Why, it's madness, except it's actually how we were created. And science backs it up. That's what I love about science. I love about science that when it goes and does its gig and just looks into things, it says, oh, gratitude lowers the cortisol levels in your body. And what does cortisol do in our body? Well, it can create disease. It can create all kinds of messed up things in us. And so gratitude lowers the being grateful, thinking on things that we're grateful for, just 3 a.m. and 3 p.m. Doesn't have to be we're running around all day. Oh, I'm so grateful. Although, you know, not that that would be bad. But when we remember to take time to think of three things we're grateful for in the morning and three things we're grateful for at night, that it actually can decrease the cortisol levels in our body and increase the serotonin, the dopamine levels in our body. Like, this is a good thing. And it helps me to be less of a jerk. You know, just saying. It helps me to be happier. It helps me to be calmer. And I promise you, a calmer and happier Allie is a better Allie to be around. So this morning, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, brothers and sisters, a reminder that when we wake up, before we grab our phone, before we grab a coffee, as we're walking down the hallway to the bathroom, think on three things that we're grateful for. And when we go to sleep at night, as we're laying our head down on the pillow, we think of three things that we're grateful for. However that works for you. I like to actually speak out thank you. I thank God for my life. I thank God for my husband. That's how it works for me. It can be just as much for someone else to say, I'm grateful for. That's the revolution of gratitude, right? It's what are you personally grateful for, and reminding ourselves of that so that our body, instead of buying into all the fear and trauma and drama that is out there, doesn't mean that it's going to change those things. It doesn't mean that we ignore those things. It means for a moment in our day, we take a breath and say, okay, there's a lot of hard stuff going on in the world right now, and still, I'm grateful. And when we take time to do breathing exercises, it feeds our body with life-giving oxygen. Again, imagine being created in such a way that bringing oxygen deeper into our bodies, breathing deeply so that we expand our lungs more, so that we breathe deep all the way down to our belly buttons. Imagine that being created in such a way that that would bring us healing. Why, it's madness. Imagine that, but that's the truth. That is how our body actually works better. And how do we, it's very hard to stay anxious when we are breathing deep, holding that a moment, and then letting it go. I'm saying that as a person who struggled with anxiety for most of my life. It's hard to hold two thoughts at once. We can't actually do it. We can be busy in our mind. We can have our minds racing. But if we steady the thought and concentrate on the breath and the words and the intentions of breathing in peace and calm and love and releasing all of those things that don't serve us, that aren't ours to carry, that we can't change, that's the red or the blue pill, right? That's if we choose to do that, because I'm a person who can stay in the worried about my health and worried about all of these things. I'm telling you, it's shame and fear were my default position for so long. And this works. This works if I do it 1 minute a day or 30 minutes a day, remembering just breathe. And yeah, so there's that. What else is happening? Okay, so that's my Mahalo Monday section of the show today. What else is happening is, okay, so my book, I've just received, I haven't even done it. I did this before I went to that because I needed to come and do Mahalo Monday before I sunk myself into, my book. My book, my newest book, Look Around and Ground with Ginger and the Fun Bunch. It teaches kids, about grounding and breath work. How to help themselves out if they're feeling anxious. That's the first book of the series of the collection. It's the Don't Be Scared, Be Prepared collection. And that comes out of, I don't know if I've told you this. So when I probably have, but whatever, I guess I'm telling you again. So when our grandbabies were little, yeah, when they would spend one or two nights a week over having sleepovers with Nana and Baba. And if Papa was doing the bedtime, you can tell what they wanted if it was Papa doing tuck in or Nana. Because if Papa tucks it in, then it's going to be, he's going to read from The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, which is like his very favorite book that he read over and over and over and over and over. But if Nana put them to bed, that meant that they wanted a made-up story. And so that's what I would do. I would make up a story every night that I put, I wouldn't read. I would just make up whatever would just come to my mind and I would make up a story. It would usually have, their names in it and a dog that we had and probably, you know, however that went. So these particular books aren't actually that, because the other thing that I always did with my grandkids was that when they were going through something, I would always tell them, you don't need to be scared. You just need to be prepared. And that would be for anything that was going on, a class project or meeting new kids or just whatever. There's many things that would be going on if they were nervous about something. And that came from that I was a kid who had lots of anxiety. And, when my kids were small, I didn't have the skills yet, the skill set to really instill that in them. Truth be known, I probably gave them more anxieties. I can only change what, you know, we can do what we do when we know how to do it, right? So with Hannah and Cassius, I was very much into, you know, if there's a test coming, you don't have to be afraid of the test if you study for it. If you're going out with your friends, be prepared for things. Don't be afraid of them. And so when I was doing some writing or something, Hannah came to me and said, Nana, when are you going to write those books for the kids that don't be scared, be prepared? Because Hannah still to this day, she'll be going to do something and she'll go, I know, Nana, don't be scared, be prepared. So that's kind of where that was birthed out of. And so the books are really all about that. I think that there's lots in the world that's wonderful and joyful and miraculous and all kinds of things going on in the world today. And there's also lots of stuff that can be really scary. And so I just really wanted to share with kids a way that if they were prepared, they didn't need to be that scared. And some of that, like in the first book, Look Around and Ground, you know, the kids go off on adventure. Ginger is this little girl. Surprisingly, she's a chubby little redheaded girl with freckles. And her pals go off on an adventure. And she starts to have an anxiety attack. or experience anxiety. She becomes anxious. And the kids help her through with what they've learned about grounding and doing some breath work. And it's based for a 4 to 7 year old, right? So we're not talking big complex ideas here. And someone that I know who is a psychologist who read the book said, this is going to be good for people who don't have this skill all around. This is an adult could learn from this. I have a friend of mine who is the same age as I am, who I shared the book with her. And she said to me, I'm not kidding you. I was doing the stuff that you taught in the book all day because I was having a really hard day out, you know, in her business world. So that was really exciting. And also the psychologist that I was talking to, who I shared the book with, said families who don't yet have this skill set, they'll be learning it when they're reading it to their kids. So I'm really encouraged by that, and I'm excited. So today we'll see. I've got what I think is probably going to be maybe, fingers, eyes, and toes crossed, the last draft of the book. So that's really super exciting. And I think that's the thing. You know, I will be 65 when my first children's book comes out. Well, I'm 65 now, and I'm pretty sure it will be coming out pretty soon, so I guess I will be. And that's another part of it, right? That I'm a person who I'm going to guess on my 95th birthday, I hope I have a new book coming out. I hope maybe I'm writing a new song. I hope so. I hope that I always had that creative bent to me, but I'm finding lots of friends that I know who thought that they didn't have that in them. I have a friend who is blowing my mind what an amazing artist she is. And she never did. She was solid, hardcore numbers person, businesswoman, and very successful at it for many years. And I just saw some of her work. She's just starting to paint a bit, and it blew my mind. I'm like, oh my gosh. So yeah, that's the other encouragement, right? Is that it doesn't matter if you've never done it before. Try it. Try it. What's the worst that can happen? You're not Rembrandt your first time out? You know, you're not Joni Mitchell your first song? You're not whatever. It doesn't matter. Just do stuff that makes our hearts smile. And probably whatever it is that's in your heart to do, I'm going to guess that you've been doing it already for a really long time. I've been writing poems and stories and songs since I was really little. I didn't always share them with everyone because, you know, whatever, insecurities, kid stuff, we get in our heads, we're afraid. And so I've been writing kid stories. I've been writing and making up kid stories for like 30 or 40 years. And only now just doing them. But even if I had never done it and I just did it now, it just doesn't matter. It's just in us to do. It is in us to create. It's in us. right? I mean, I have my spiritual concept of why that is. We were created by a creator who we were created in the likeness of that creator. And so how could we be created by a creator and not be creative beings? It just wouldn't make no sense. And even if that's not what you believe in, it just doesn't matter. How can we be around creation or evolution or whatever you want to call this world? How could we look at this and think that it is not in us to create beautiful, wonderful things? It just would make no sense to me in my way of thinking anyways. And even if you didn't believe that, just flip and try it. Just go doodle. Just doodle for a little while. Draw a little house or an eye or whatever with your pencil. Just doodle. If you think of how often you doodle through a business meeting, like business meetings were crushing for me. When I was, whatever I've done in my life in terms of business, I promise you I doodled through every meeting I was ever in. It was the only thing that helped me function. And if anyone ever thought that I wasn't listening, I promise you it was helping me to listen. Was helping me to not slit my wrist. It was helping me to make it through those things because it's just how I process. So yeah, I hope that today or this week, you'll try something new. Something you didn't try before. Try something new. And just see if that gives you some life. Or go back to something that you've done for a long time and maybe haven't done for a while. And just remind yourself how good that feels. It could be organizing a cupboard. It doesn't have to be, we all have different things that bring us life. For some people, it is truly organizing their closet or their junk drawer or baking or because I'm limited, the first things that come to my mind are the things that give me life. So painting and drawing and writing and music, these are the things, and teaching things and creating stuff like that. That's what gives me life. Oh, by the way, my course is coming out on Wednesday. Wah, wah. It's almost full too. How exciting. Anyways, I kept it small. Even though it's online, I wanted it to stay to like 12 people. I figured that's about what I could handle, and it's almost full. So that's really exciting. So I'll tell you about that. When I look at UIC, and that comes from, I'll tell you a little bit of what that comes from. It comes from a life of me being a little kid who was probably, however you want to word that, was intuitively wired, very sensitive to my surroundings and to energies and what was going on. And some people call that intuition, and some people call that maybe empathic. Some people might call that prophetic. Some people might call that psychic. Some people might call that revelatory. I don't care what you call it, but we all have that thing inside of us, right? That we just feel, we get this intuition, this small, still voice that speaks to us. And I had that most of my life. And so in my early adult life, I've always weaved kind of in and out of, you know, sometimes I was reading tarot cards and sometimes I was in church, and then I went back to maybe just trying to do energetic stuff, understand how that might work. And then maybe I was back in church, and then sometimes for some years I was leading the prophetic group at church and the team, and was asked to create a course on the prophetic. And then through that, of course, I spent time with really amazing mentors in and out of church. Elijah House and learning all about that, of listening and understanding and what to speak and when to speak. And Streams Ministry had a one, you know, under John Paul Jackson, I took all of those courses as well. And then I took all kinds of energetic courses. And so I've spent quite a few years studying it and then practicing it myself and learning to understand. And so what I'm going to just teach you will be my experiences, my opinions, maybe my thoughts, my imaginations, my best guesses, I tend to be a person now who I'm a little bit, not that I wouldn't trust it, I wouldn't, that's not, I'm not going to say that. I'm kind of trying to word what I'm about to say. When someone is the expert on a subject, like I'm a little cautious in that area. When someone thinks that they have the truth, the one and only truth about anything, whatever that is, anybody who spent any time doing anything for any length of time knows that it doesn't matter if it is art or music or religion or spiritual thoughts or concepts. It doesn't really matter. There are some who are, who would like to claim that this is the way to do it. And so I have learned over the years that it doesn't mean that what they're saying isn't correct or true. I just, the heart from which it comes from, I don't want to engage in that, because I was a girl who thought I knew the truth about many things. Trust me. If there was a subject, I had an opinion. And so this isn't that. This is, when I look at UIC, is about learning about our intuition, how it works from the spiritual side, the emotional side, the physics, the energetic science side of it. How does this all work together? So it's about that first. We explore that. And then more importantly, for me anyways, when I look at UIC, is somebody much smarter than me, once I was at a conference, and this guy who's in the prophetic realms in Christendom, Graham Cook, real smart guy. Anyways, he said, I remember him saying once, if you think you're prophetic and someone walks into the room and you see something and it just makes you think you need to worry about them or whatever, trust me, that's not being prophetic, because there's not a human born on this planet that doesn't have issues. That's a song. I wrote that song. I'll sing it to you one day. Anyways, so don't worry about what we can see in people and in each other and all of that, that is maybe not so great. You know, the better gifting that I'm finding? The better gifting is seeing what's awesome and beautiful and wonderful in a person and calling that to life, inspiring that, seeing this tiny wee little ember and fanning that flame into this great, beautiful, and glorious thing that they can't deny, that they get to walk out what they were created for, what they were born for. That I want to be part of. So when I look at UIC, is a bit of a mixture of all those things that I've learned. I've learned that where I used to really excel in being judgmental, I learned how that was nothing but death. And now I get to see the beauty in other people. And even if I look at someone and I can see an area that they struggle in, I've learned the importance and the gift that it is to see beyond that and what they were born for and call that to life. So that's really what the course is about. The course is about understanding our intuition and how we see and what we see. And then when to speak, when not to speak, what to speak, what not to speak. And how do we see beauty in ourselves and others? How do we do that? And how do we learn to speak that over each other? From something as simple as going for the mall and opening the door and seeing another woman and she just looks amazing and we tell her that. Like, that's a small piece of what when I look at UIC is. How do we see a person that they're struggling, and how do we speak life-giving words to them that can actually shift the energetic shift? So the words come out, so there's a kindness, so that's emotional. We're blessing them, so that has a spiritual context. But there's also an energetic shift. See, there we are again with this poof. Well, who would have thought that a creator, that made, as Einstein said, that everything has some energy, it's all just energy. Who could have imagined that we could actually speak and those words could inspire, encourage, and uplift. Well, there we go. So that's what the course is about. When I look at UIC, and that starts tomorrow, I was only charging $150. I slashed it down to $75 for just to get if money was going to be a problem for them that they would come. And I thought, well, it would be a nice gift. I did that for a few weeks and then I'm doing it again. So if you're interested, join. It'll be fun. It's Wednesday nights, 6 to 7:30, and I'm excited about it. So there's that. And beyond that, I think that if we just keep remembering to be kind to ourselves, to love on ourselves, that, life can be really hard. Being a human can be really hard, and it can be awesome, and it can be both at once. They are not mutually exclusive of each other. We can go through really, really hard times, and beauty can come. It makes me think of Lahaina in Maui, which is like, for David and I, that's like about our, well, now we've been to Scotland and Wales, so it's it's still about our favorite place, I think, Maui. And I'm thinking about Lahaina and that horrible, horrible fire. And I know the fires in LA, and my heart just hurts for them all. But I was thinking about Lahaina when it just looked like all was lost in Lahaina. That beautiful, and I don't remember the kind of tree that it is. But anybody who's been to Maui knows that tree that I'm talking about in Lahaina. That gorgeous tree in the middle of that park, and it's very sacred to those people. And look at it. Here we are. I'm not even sure how many years. It's been a couple of years now, but that tree's coming back, and it's beautiful and it's wonderful. And in the midst of all the just the destruction that tree is coming through, and it makes me think of so many, well, it makes me think of myself even, you know. I'm telling you, it's almost 10 years ago to the day of my injury. And well, I'm kind of like the tree in Lahaina. New little things popping out. And we're all like that. Man, there's not one person. Anybody who thinks that we have it harder than someone else, I promise you. First of all, it's not a contest. Second of all, everybody's going through shit. Everybody's going through it, man. Everybody's having a hard time. If it's not financial, then it's some physical, medical thing going on, or it's a family thing going on, or it's a past they're trying to walk out of. It's everybody. We're losing people. We're, you know, all of this is going on, and it can feel so overwhelming. And there's beauty, and there's love, and there's hope. And for me, I try to not ignore, like I'm, as my mom would call it, don't be Pollyanna about things. Just stay positive. So it's not about ignoring that things are going wrong or being involved with people, getting dirty with it, right? Like getting down and dirty and in the mud with our friends when they need to get dug out of it. It's not about ignoring what's going on. It's about choosing life, choosing to be grateful in the midst of all of it. Yeah. So that's my thoughts for this Mahalo Monday. I hope that you are well. I hope that your day goes how you need it to go. I hope that you're able to grab on to of whatever it is that you need to grab onto and let go of, whatever it is that you need to let go of, and always stay grateful. Thanks so much for joining me today. If you found a piece of your joy in this episode, I would love to hear about what came up for you so that we can continue to grow the impact of this show. Thanks again. See you soon. And remember, find your joy.